Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. It is a beautiful day. We are just so excited and praising the Lord for his goodness, his love, and his mercy. Father God, we come to you in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ, thanking you, Father, for all that you have done, all that you do, all that you continue to do for us on a regular basis. Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. So we ask that you would be with us, we pray, as we start our day with our morning meditations. This is our prayer and our praise, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Mountain moving faith. A mountain can represent a problem, an obstacle that is blocking us from living the abundant life Christ died to give us. So Jesus taught his disciples what to do about the mountain that we are going to call the mountain of desperation. When we are desperate for a solution to a problem, Jesus told us in Matthew 17:20, what we are to do to this type of mountain, because this is not a mountain that we need to climb. It is a mountain we need to move. And this is what he says: I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed we know is the smallest seed ever, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, and nothing would be impossible. Now, the context of Jesus speaking these words was the occasion of the father with the demon-possessed son, who he had brought to the disciples, but they were unable to move the mountain. They were unable to fix the problem, so the man brought his son to Jesus. Now, yesterday, we read the story from Matthew 17, but today I want to read the same story from Mark chapter 9, because Mark gives us additional insight that is not recorded in Matthew 17. So I'm beginning at verse 14 of Mark 9. When Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, came down from the Mount of Transfiguration and rejoined the other nine disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them and some teachers of religious law, that's like the Pharisees and Sadducees, were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they began to run, and they ran to greet him. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that will not let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they could not do it. Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Ooh, wow. So let's pause right here for a moment. Having heard about his disciples' inability to help the boy, Jesus now rebukes those disciples with some stinging words. He says, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Ooh, that does not sound like gentle Jesus, meek and mild to me. You see, Jesus expected his disciples to heal the boy. After all, a few chapters before in Mark chapter 6 and verse 7, this is what Jesus had done. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and began sending them out two by two, listen, giving them authority to heal the sick and to cast out evil spirits. So did the disciples carry out Jesus's directive? Well, yes. In verse 12 of Mark chapter 6, it tells us the disciples went out telling everyone they met to repent of their sins and turn to God. And verse 13 says, and they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. So yes, the disciples were doing the work of ministry, and that work required faith on their part. So that's a bit of a puzzle. So why is it that Jesus is now saying that in approaching this situation, he calls them faithless? Now, I don't know exactly, but I'm thinking that perhaps the disciples had become complacent in their ministry and had begun to take the authority that they were given for granted. In other words, they did not stay prayed up. And so when they were faced with this difficult situation, they were unprepared, and therefore they failed miserably. But before we blame them too much, we need to take a look at ourselves. Yep. You see, we too have been given the same authority by Jesus to do the same works Jesus did. So, how many sick folk have you and I healed lately? You see, at least the disciples started to do the work, and they were effective up to a point. And we know that in Acts chapter 3, we see the disciples, Peter and John, appropriating the power and the authority given to them that they had received at Pentecost. And they healed the lame man at the temple with these words: silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name, that means the authority, the power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And immediately the man got up, leaping and jumping and praising God. The thing is, we have been given that same power, because that power comes from the same Holy Spirit that was given in Pentecost, at Pentecost, and the same powerful Holy Spirit lives in us 24/7. And yet we do not see the mighty works operating through us. So, enough said, let's continue our story. So they brought the boy to Jesus. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked. The father said, since he was a little boy, the spirit, listen to this, the spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Now, it's interesting that Jesus asked the father how long this was happening. From the father's response, it was a long time. And the father was well aware that the objective of this demonic spirit was to kill the boy. Perhaps it was because of the destiny that God had for this boy that the devil tried so hard to stop him. Remember how Satan used Herod to kill all the baby boys 2 years and under in order to try to kill the baby Jesus to prevent him from fulfilling his destiny? That's the reason why you and I cannot give up. Even when we fail, we have to ask forgiveness. We have to ask for empowerment of the Holy Spirit and continue to do what God has called and equipped us to do. Understand, failure is not final. It wasn't final for the disciples, and it is not final for us. And so what we see is that the father of this boy said to Jesus, have mercy on us and help us if you can. Oh boy. Jesus says, what do you mean if I can? You see, since Jesus' disciples had failed, and even though the man brought his son to Jesus, he was entertaining some doubt. Have you ever been there praying, looking to Jesus for help, but not 100% sure if Jesus will do it for you? Yes, we know Jesus has the ability and the power, but the question we sometimes have is, will he work on my behalf? Will he do it for me? For the one who has failed so many times in the past, for the one who does not feel deserving. The good news for us is this. 2 Timothy 2:13 tells us that God remains faithful to us even when we are not faithful to him. And Romans 8 says that nothing can separate us from his love. He loved us when we were sinners, and he loves us even more now that we are his sons and daughters. His love for us is unconditional. So yes, he will do it again and again for you, because you are his beloved child. And that's why Jesus said to the Father, what do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And the Father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterwards, when Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples, they asked him, why couldn't we cast out that evil spirit? And Jesus replied, this kind can be cast out only by prayer and fasting. Now, even though Mark does not include a statement about mountain-moving faith like Matthew does, I'm going to repeat it here. If you had faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, the mountain of a problem, move from here and go over there. And it would move, and nothing would be impossible to you. In other words, to move this type of mountain, this problem that this boy and this father had was deep-seated. It was entrenched, occurring over an extended period of time. And therefore, this hardened type of mountain of a problem required these three things enumerated by Jesus in order to move this mountain out of the way, this mountain of desperation. And we mentioned them yesterday, and I'm going to repeat them quickly here. The first thing that's needed is faith. Even though the problem was a huge problem, Jesus said that the faith needed to move this mountain was small. Faith as small as a tiny mustard seed. Oh my, that's good news, because we can have that mustard seed faith that is able to move mountains. And secondly, in addition to faith, it was prayer mixed with fasting that was required to move this mountain. Understand that this preparation, prayer and fasting, takes place privately in your prayer closet, in your war room. And that's why we are praying every day at least 1 minute. But hopefully by now, your prayer is more than a minute. But the thing is that it's daily prayer. So faith, prayer mixed with fasting. And the third ingredient is that you must speak in order to move the mountain of desperation. Jesus rebuked the demon. That meant that he spoke to the demon in order to cast it out. And to move the mountain that you are facing, you will have to open your mouth and speak. That's why Jesus said, say to this mountain, move from here to there. And it will move. So our call to action is to do those three things. Have faith in God. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why you have to be in your word every day. Pray, mix with fasting, and then speak to the mountain and see that mountain move. So our time is up, and have a terrific Thursday. Peace and blessing rest upon you. Shalom.